Thank you, Mr. Japhet, and good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, most of us have heard this saying. We were probably taught it when we were a child. And it was basically, I guess, taught to help us toughen up, But as we grow older, we realize that that saying is a lie. A broken arm can heal in weeks. A bruised rib is forgotten in a month. But a word spoken in anger, or a word that's spoken without forethought, well, that can still sting like a fresh wound for decades after it's spoken. The truth is, sticks and stones might break a bone, but a word can haunt a heart. Words don't just land, they linger like echoes. Now think for a minute about those echoes in your own life. Because words linger, they stay with us long after the person who said them walks away. Perhaps it was a teacher or a parent who told you that you'd never amount to much. Or perhaps it's a different kind of echo. Maybe it's someone who just, instead of stopping to understand you, just lashed out and just said something. Those words were spoken in a single second, but they can echo for decades, shaping how we see ourselves. But brethren, it works the other way too. Think of the good echoes in your life. The time when someone pulled you aside and they said, "You know, I can really see God working in you and working with you." Or someone giving you a word of encouragement. Those words, they don't just fade away either, but they also become a part of the foundation of who we are today. And this is the reality that James talks about in James chapter 3. So let's turn over there. James chapter 3. We'll read just a few verses here. James chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 2. James 3, verse 2. We read this, James 3, verse 2. It says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." Verse 3, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." And notice verse 4, "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." So we see here, brethren, that James compares several things to the tongue, to our words. He doesn't compare sticks and stones, but he compares a few other things. And in verse 4, he compares the tongue to a rudder, to a rudder. A rudder is small, but it determines the direction of a massive ship. That small rudder decides if that ship reaches a safe harbor or if it ends up a shipwreck on the rocks. According to Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So every time we speak, we are either guiding those around us towards the peace of God, or we are dragging them towards the rocks. Now, the problem we often face is what I call the casual sledgehammer. Right? Sometimes we tend to believe that our biting sarcasm, venting, just saying something without thinking about it, or subtle gossip, sometimes we think those things don't really count. We think that because the words are forgotten by us, that they're forgotten by the person we said them to. But Jesus Christ says they're not. He gives us a sober warning in Matthew 12. So let's turn over there and look at that. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 36. Matthew 12, verse 36. He says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." Now, the word here used for idle is argos. Basically, it means not working or unproductive. These are words that aren't doing any good. And when words aren't doing good, they often end up doing damage. And we can think of words as if, like the difference between a tool and a weapon. A working word, a good word, is spoken with a clear, godly purpose to help someone, to heal, or to teach. But an argos word, that's a word we just let slip. That's the casual part of the casual sledgehammer. Now, to understand the damage, we can look at a theory in sociology. It's called the broken window theory. The broken window theory. So in sociology, researchers found that if a single window in a building is broken and left unrepaired, it sends a strong signal. It says no one is watching. No one cares. Very quickly, the other windows get smashed, and eventually the entire structure is ruined. It wasn't one massive explosion, but it was because one minor damage was ignored. And brethren, our speech works the same way. If we allow small, broken windows, those idle, not working words, if we let those go unrepaired without an apology or repentance, we signal to ourselves that God's standards don't apply to the small things, and we risk the danger of projecting echoes into people's hearts that can reverberate for years. So how do we change? How do we change? Well, we must install a spiritual guard over our mouths. King David understood this when he prayed in Psalm 141, verse 3. He said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Setting a guard, then, it means we stop being casual. It means we don't let a word pass the door of our lips until our rudders are properly aligned. And we find that alignment in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn over there. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read one verse. Ephesians 4, we'll look at verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Paul's writing, and he says this, Ephesians 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So he basically gives us a threefold filter here that we can run our sentences, our words through. Is it good? Is it necessary? And does it build? First, is it good? Is it good? Earlier in this verse, Paul uses the word, he says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." That word is sapros, which meant rotten fruit in the ancient marketplace. Rotten fruit. It describes something that was once life-giving, but has turned into something that makes you sick. So we can ask ourselves, is this sentence going to nourish this person, or am I handing them something spiritually poisonous? Something that's going to make them sick. Second, is it necessary? Paul adds the qualifier, necessary edification. Even if a statement is 100% true, it may not be necessary for that moment. Truth without necessity is often just a mask for pride. So we can ask ourselves, does this need to be said right now or by me? Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is just keep our mouth shut. And number three, does it build? Edification, that's a construction term, meaning to build up a house. Is our sentence a solid brick that's going to strengthen someone's foundation? Our words should be the materials that helps others build their own faith. Now, imagine what our lives would feel like if we all committed to this. Imagine families where no one ever wondered if they were going to be mocked or put down. Imagine church congregations. A congregation as a place where every person who walks through those doors knows that they will be built up and never sized up. Remember, brethren, God didn't use a hammer and nails to build the universe. He used words. He spoke and there was light. When we use our words correctly, we help bring light into the dark places of other people's lives. Brethren, a vision of a peaceful home or a unified church is beautiful, true, but a vision without a decision is just a dream. We have to start by taking control of the very next word that crosses our lips. So, today, I am challenging all of us, including those watching. I'm challenging all of us to a 24-hour critical speech fast. A 24-hour critical speech fast. And there's two steps to this. Step one, starting the moment we leave the hall, that means get it all out before you leave. Starting the moment we leave this hall, if we cannot say something that is good, necessary and edifying, let's just choose silence. If we feel a sharp retort rising up, let's set the guard and let the moment pass. And then step two, intentionally find one person today, a spouse, a child, or a brother or sister in Christ, and tell them one specific thing you appreciate about them. Don't just say, "Dude, you're great," right? But tell them why their character is a blessing to you. Brethren, we are all setting a course every time we speak. So let's decide today that our words will not be a source of shipwreck to others, but a safe harbor of grace, echoing positively for years to come.